So why are we here today? What is it that we are trying to accomplish in our life? The Bhagavad Gita is like a manual of life, just as you have an instruction manual when you buy a new VCR or you buy an i6 phone, which most of us never open. But if you do, it does show you how to operate the equipment. So Bhagavad Gita is a manual of life which tells us how to live our life. And that is why we are so grateful to Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda for having translated this and made it very simple for all of us to understand. Because it's not only one should read the Bhagavad Gita, but then one should bring it into one's life. It should change my life. Otherwise, not only the reading is useless, but also this life is wasted. If you want to make this life worthwhile, you have to change the direction, because all our life we have been running towards the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. Just to summarize these charts for some people who may be new, we all have this human body, and with the body we become perceiver of objects. With the mind we become the feeler of emotions, and with our intellect we become the thinker of thoughts. And then we are driven by vasanas, which are our tendencies, which make us do good or bad. If we have good vasanas, good tendencies, we do good. And if we have bad vasanas, we do bad. So vasanas are our desires or tendencies. And above this, we have Om. Om is God's presence in us as life, as consciousness. So we spend all our life running out into the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts. But the Bhagavad Gita teaches us that we need to turn the attention of the mind inward to God, who is not only within me as life, but is in all beings. And so the application of Gita is very well demonstrated in the 14th chapter. It's a very, very practical chapter which talks about the gunas. And as we have studied before, our mind functions under the influence of three types of gunas: sattva, which is pure, rajas, which is passion, action, and tamas, which is laziness or heedlessness or ignorance. And a person under the influence of sattva, we had studied last week, his mind is pure, his vision is very clear, he knows where he or she is going. And that goes upward. The person under the influence of rajas, which we had discussed last week in detail, is very passionate, very active, to the point of being selfish, you know, wanting to accomplish. On this side, there are some chairs on this side. You can come here. A rajasic person will accomplish what he wants to at all costs, whether he hurts others, whether he, you know, cheats others or lies. So that we had studied last week. Today we shall talk about the tamasic person, or the person who is lazy, ignorant. And then after that we shall talk about what happens to people who are sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic in this particular life. So we'll do verse number 13 today. For those who wish to listen to previous verses, we do have them on firstpower.info. If you go to the website firstpower.info and click on Talks by Dr. Anil Mehta, you can listen to old talks all the way back up to 8th chapter. So they are available in case you want to listen to previous verses. So verse number 13, chapter 14. Aprakasho pravrittascha pramado moha evacha tamasyetani jayante vivridhe kuru nandana. So what are the qualities of tamas? We have listed on the board. Aprakasha. Aprakash means light. Prakash means brilliant. So aprakash is darkness or dullness. The next is apravritti. Pravritti means activity, to act, to work. Apravritti means one who doesn't want to do anything. He is inert, lazy. And we'll talk a little more about that. Then the third one is pramad, heedlessness, I don't care. And moha, delusion, fanaticism, evacha. These are tamas, etani jayante, tamas vivridhe. When the tamas goes up, O Kuru Nandana, O son of Kuru family, Arjuna, when tamas is predominant, what happens? Etani jayante. These are created, these are born, these arise. How does this arise? Because the tamasic person basically has no knowledge. You know, because when you see a person whose eyes are bright and skin is glowing and he's very interested in life, and such a person, you assign the work and it gets done because he's full of enthusiasm, full of vigor, full of energy. But a tamasic person has no light. If you look at his eyes, they are dull. You know, even his skin is dull. He has absolutely no interest in life. Doesn't want to do anything. You give him a job, he will procrastinate. He will postpone it. He will find every excuse not to do it. Why should I do it? We'll find every reason to do. And then that leads to laziness. That leads to inertness. I don't feel like doing it. I just don't have any interest. I was reading somewhere, it's like a car. A tamasic person is like a car. Now, we know we all drive the car and you have the foot brake, that when you take your foot off the accelerator, you press the foot brake. But there is another handbrake or another brake that you put it on, it stays permanently. Now, suppose you put that brake on and then you drive the car. Sometime accidentally happens, you know, you forget to turn it off. And how the car doesn't move at all. But if you persist in driving, you say, I'm not going to move, change it, then what's going to happen is going to damage your brake, it's going to damage your car. So a tamasic person is like that, who has the brake on permanently. And he or she just doesn't move, you know. And not only that, but that leads to a lot of wear and tear in his body. You may think that by not working, by being relaxed, actually your body degenerates faster. Because when you don't work, then you become lazy, you have heart problems, joint problems. So physically also this person is very weak, and mentally also he has absolutely no desire to work. Another beautiful example I heard, it's like a car whose battery is dead. Now the car is perfect, you know, there's plenty of gasoline, the engine is perfect, you know, it's a brand new car, but the battery died. That is a tamasic person. You know, his body and mind and everything looks perfect, but he has no battery, no charge, nothing to get him to work. So this car, how will you get it started? Well, call the auto club, you know, call AAA and they'll come and, you know, jump start your car. He'll come and jump start your sign, and with a beautiful smile, he'll wave you off and go, okay, sir, you're ready to go. And then what do? Then you get in the car and then you run it for a few miles, right, to charge the battery. But suppose you go only half a mile and say, I'm tired, I don't feel like driving. You park the car on the side and you take a nap with your feet up. What? The battery will die again. So then it is your job to then take the car and get going and work with it and move it so that you can recharge your batteries, and then you are fine, your battery is normal. So similarly, a tamasic person, when he has no charge, he has no energy, what can we do? You know, we find that I want to do a lot spiritually, but I don't have the interest, I don't have the ability, I don't have the drive. So they say, call the AAA. And that is the guru. A guru, when you approach a guru, he will come because he has a lot of charge. He has a lot of energy. That's why the guru has accomplished so much. That's why, you know, I mean, like Swami Chinmayananda, you can read his books, or Swamiji, like Ishwarananda, other acharyas who come. So when you listen to them and when you meet with them, they recharge your battery and they get you started. But then after that, the guru is going to leave. He's not going to stay here and carry you on his back. You know, some people believe, if I have faith in the guru, he will take me to heaven. There is no such thing. Swami Chinmayananda said, I am not a mule. I am not a mule guru. I am not going to carry you on my back. I can give you the knowledge, but then it is up to you to run with the knowledge, just as you have to run your own car. So you run with the knowledge that the guru gives you, that we get from the Bhagavad Gita, and then charge your battery and then move. Do not then again say, no, sun liya, theek hai, it is good, I listened on Sunday. I don't know, I don't have time. No, every day of the week we should read the Bhagavad Gita, we should listen to good tapes, good videos. There are so many talks on the internet, even our Chinmaya mission, we have talks, you know, that by different acharyas. So listen to them and apply them in your life so that your own battery gets charged. And ultimately that's what the guru wants. The guru doesn't want you to keep on depending on him or hold on to his feet and say, guru, guru, guru. That's not the idea. A true guru does not want to make followers. He wants to make students. He wants to make disciples. Disciple means one who will subject to discipline, one who will learn. If a guru is only interested in accumulating a large number of people just to come and touch his feet, that's not. The true guru is one who will give us the knowledge and then let us free. Okay, now you are free. I have lit the spark, I have charged the battery. So that is the problem with tamasic people. They have apravritti. They just do not have any activity. Then the other problem with tamas is pramad. Pramad means heedlessness. They don't care. They absolutely don't care. You ask them, why don't you go out and help others and work for others? He says, I don't even work for myself. What about working for others? He has no interest. He even doesn't care. You ask him, did you eat breakfast? I don't know. Maybe I did. What did you eat? I don't remember. You don't remember 2 hours ago you ate 2 big plates and you polished off? I don't care. So they have no interest in life. They have no interest in what they do and they have no interest in others. So such a person has to be stimulated with the right knowledge. You know, that's what Swami Vivekananda said, that from tamas you bring them to rajas, where at least they start working. Even if they are working selfishly, that's okay. At least he's going out and doing something instead of just sitting and depending on society to take care of him. And then from rajas, slowly you can turn his direction to sattva, where he starts working unselfishly, starts helping others, starts devoting his actions to the Lord, starts working for the benefit of all. So from tamas, straight away you cannot, you know, suddenly become a saint. But from tamas, you go to rajas, and at least he starts caring for himself and his family. That's better than doing nothing. But then better than that is not that the whole world is my family. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. That's what Shri Krishna says in the Gita. Vasudeva Sarvamiti sa Mahatma Sudurlabaha. See, that Mahatma who says that this whole world is Vasudeva. Krishna is there in everyone. Those Mahatmas are very rare. So that is the goal of life. And that is how from sattva, from tamas, we can go to sattva. And then the last one is moha. Moha means delusion. He does not know what is the truth. He does not care what is right, what is wrong. He has his fixed ideas. And based on that, he even becomes fanatic, you know, where this alone is right. And he has a very limited view of life. And anybody who doesn't subscribe to my view should be killed, you know. So that kind of fanaticism, that kind of delusion, where the person does not know what is right, what is wrong, what is my goal in life, where am I going. So that is the hallmark of tamas. So these are the 4 main qualities. And the idea is that, of course, throughout the day, we will have that. Like when you wake up in the morning, your mind is very sattvic, is very pure, and you get up and you meditate or you pray or you remember the Lord, or you look at the east and chant the Gayatri Mantra, your mind is very pure. Then as you get to work, your mind becomes rajasic. You are working. And then at the end of the day, your mind goes into tamas. And you need that to sleep. But in the middle of the day or early in the morning, if you wake up and say, I hate Mondays. No, this is my opportunity to go and serve the world and make the world a better place. So I look forward, honestly, I'm not joking, I look forward to Mondays because it is good. It is my opportunity to go and help others and go and work. And not only that, but once you remember the Lord, then all 7 days are good. Once you start your day in the morning by saying Om Namah Shivaya or Shri Krishna Sharanam, all 7 days are good, all 365 days are good. When the Lord is with you, there is no good and bad days. Every day is good. So that is the solution for tamas, that bring the Lord with you, start working and devote your activities to Him. So this is a summary of what tamas is. Anybody has any comments or any questions? Yes. I think the problem I find in the way psychiatric illness is treated, I have a serious problem with it, because the majority of the people, there are a few who have serious psychiatric problems, psychotics, schizophrenics, and they need to be on long-term therapy. They need to be on medicine for the rest of their life. But what I find in my practice when I see people, there are people who have had a short-term depression, say a death of a parent, or a divorce, or some major illness. And so the doctor puts them on antidepressants, but then nobody makes an effort to take them off. And they are on it for 5 years, 10 years, and they come to me and they say, I have stomach problems. I say, why are you taking these three psychiatric medicines? Oh, 8 years ago my mother died. Yeah, okay, she died, that's sad, but 8 years, you are still, and why don't you go? Oh, I can't go off. They don't even try to go off the medicines. And so they are chronically stuck in this state of depression. And it's very easy for the doctor just to refill the prescription. Every 3 months you come in. That should not be. The goal should, and I actually, in my practice, I try to take them off because it causes them intestinal problems, these antidepressants. And I tell them, if you want to get well, you have to go off. And also those who have come to our meditation class on Thursday, there are quite a few people who have gone off. Those who meditate can go off psychiatric medicine. So the problem is depression is not a permanent state. They have a temporary depressive situation, which once it is over, 3 months, you know, your parent died or divorced, you got over it, and then try to go off the medicine. So that is, I think, that is the biggest problem. And because then they are chronically drugged. And another serious problem I have is this legalization of marijuana. That is the worst thing they are doing to our youth. Because we are telling them it is okay to take marijuana, it's legal. And chronic use of marijuana causes dullness, it causes, Alzheimer's is accelerated by that. These people don't perform well in school, don't perform well in their job. They get cyclical vomiting. There are so many problems, and people don't realize that. And they're just, you know, blindly legalizing and making it available on the street. Because it's a serious drug, and they're chronically depressed. And it's the same thing. They're in chronically in a state of tamas when they take marijuana and all these, you know, psychiatric medicines. So if you take it, it should be temporary. That's my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exercise itself will get you. Now, that's what we were saying. From tamas, you straight away cannot go to sattva and start meditating. From tamas, you have to go out and work. What they say is that even a most tamasic person will have some interest, something that interests him or her. And if you find what that interests him and put them in that, maybe they like to, you know, collect stamps, or maybe they like... So once you find what that person likes and put them in that activity, slowly you can bring that person out of his shell of tamas towards rajas, where they start working in that direction. And then from that, then slowly you can. But they have to have the desire within them to change, and then they have to have the right type of guidance or advice. But unless it comes from within, you cannot force anybody to change. But that's a good point. Thank you.